Visit licensureexams.com and try our samples completely free of charge.
Hello, dear therapist, and welcome to our licensure exam podcast. I'm Dr. Linton Hutchinson, and I'm with my co-host, Stacey Froth. Today, in this episode of Demystifying Disorders, we'll be talking about two commonly confused disorders, oppositional defiant disorder and conduct disorder.
That's right. Both of these disorders involve problems with emotional and behavioral regulation, which tend to affect kids and teenagers. It's actually very rare for these disorders to spontaneously emerge in adulthood. Some key differences between oppositional defiant disorder and conduct disorder are important for you as therapists to understand, especially as you're studying for your licensure exam.
Let's start by reviewing each disorder's diagnostic criteria as laid out in the DSM-5 TR. Stacey, want to walk us through oppositional defiant disorder first?
Sure. So according to the DSM-5 TR, the standard criteria for oppositional defiant disorder, also called ODD, state that symptoms must be present for at least 6 months. And the symptoms of ODD are grouped into three categories. Number one is anger and irritability. This includes losing temper, easily annoyed, and being angry and resentful. The second category is argumentative or defiant behavior. For example, the client argues with authority figures, refuses to follow the rules, deliberately annoys others, and blames others for their own mistakes and bad behavior. And the third category is vindictiveness. And this is the tendency to want to harm, get revenge on, or see someone suffer who you think has wronged you. And the underlying driving force is usually feelings of resentment and bitterness. So, Linton, this got me to thinking, when you gave Wes, our IT guru, a piece of bread with wasabi on it and told him it was avocado toast, would that be considered vindictiveness?
Stacey, how can you even think that? No, it wasn't. That was just payback for when he told me he had erased all the site's contents and didn't have a backup. Talk about giving me a heart attack.
Well, I'm not sure the punishment completely fits the crime there, Linton, but you know, that seems a little close to the edge. Now, anger and irritability are normal human emotions, but vindictiveness is on another level. So how can you differentiate the kind of anger and irritability you'd see with ODD from normal anger and irritability?
Well, the key here is to look at three dimensions: the frequency, the intensity, and duration of anger and irritability. With ODD, the child or teenagers will show frequent and persistent irritability or anger that is noticeably more severe than peers of their own age. This includes losing their temper regularly, being easily annoyed or angered by minor things, and having frequent angry outbursts or tantrums. The irritability and outbursts also tend to last for extended periods of time rather than being just the occasional or episodic.
Okay, well, that makes sense. What about argumentative behavior? This seems like another, you know, one of those normal behaviors that we humans engage in from time to time. Therapists excluded, of course.
Of course. Argumentative and defiant behavior in ODD includes often arguing or refusing to comply with rules or instructions from authority figures like parents or teachers. The client may deliberately do things that will annoy others or you and actively defy requests. The key is that these behaviors occur persistently over time and exceed what's developmentally normal.
Okay. Now that last category we mentioned, vindictiveness, leads me to a question. I hate to admit it, Linton, but there are times when my justice side gets the better half of me and comes out to play. You know, it's those times when things aren't fair and you want to see some kind of retribution against the person who wronged you. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's even a German word for it, if you believe it or not. What? It's a justice-based Schadenfreude.
Gesundheit. It's understandable to feel some satisfaction, Stacey, or Schadenfreuden, is that right?
Yeah, I think you got it pretty close.
Okay. When someone behaving badly receives punishment or consequences, feeling that justice has been served can elicit a sense of pleasure or relief. But with ODD, the desire for revenge goes beyond just wanting to see fair justice or penalties given out. Instead, it becomes an obsessive, disproportionate spitefulness that leads the child or teenager to actively seek revenge in excessive ways that cause more harm than good. They become really preoccupied with getting back at or hurting the person they believe wronged them, even if the retaliation is an overreaction to the situation.
Okay, makes sense.
So, if I'm at Publix and they won't give me my BOGO sushi on Wednesday, and I accidentally drop a carton of eggs on the floor, would that be considered vindictive?
Oh, Linton, what did you do that they wouldn't give you BOGO sushi?
Well, Stacy, as it turns out, I got mixed up and it was actually Thursday.
Oh, Linton, that is so wrong on so many levels. But yes, your accidental dropping of eggs is excessive and an overreaction to the situation. Are you sure it was an accident?
Well, I'm not sure, but I do remember a feeling of satisfaction and justice was served.
Okay, so feeling a sense of justice being served can be normal, but with a client with ODD, for example, the vindictiveness goes too far. They get obsessed with getting revenge in ways that go way overboard. So here's a good example. If a classmate bumps into a kid with ODD at school, the kid with ODD might wait days or weeks to get back at that person, like destroying their homework or stealing their backpack, even though, you know, they just bumped into them on accident.
Right.
Or let's say a teacher admonishes a child with oppositional defiant disorder. A few days later, that child might take the teacher's car keys and hide them.
Well, I guess I'm out of the woods, Stacy, given those examples. I mean, the whole thing happened just because I mixed up what day it was.
I think you've missed the point here, Linton.
Okay, I'll just have to take your word for it because next, let's changing the subject, let's talk about duration.
Okay.
Okay, for a diagnosis of ODD, these behaviors must lead to significant impairment in social or educational functioning, occurring for at least how long? 6 months. And fall outside the normal limits for the child's developmental level.
Gotcha. Okay, so this basically rules out that, you know, run-of-the-mill sibling rivalry.
Right, right, yeah.
And there are also severity specifiers for ODD. Mild is if the angry, irritable mood, argumentative, defiant behavior, and vindictiveness are isolated to just one setting, like only happening at school or only happening at home. Moderate is if the symptoms are present in at least two settings, and severe is if the symptoms are present in three or more settings.
That's strange. You know, usually severity specifiers are based on how many symptoms the client exhibits, not the setting where the symptoms occur and other diagnoses.
So you have been listening, Linton, when I would talk about specifiers. Well, that's a great observation. With ODD, basing the severity specifier on the number of settings with symptoms helps to highlight the scope of functional impairment for the child. Symptoms that appear across multiple settings, like at home, also at school, and with peers, indicates a more serious impairment. And the more areas of a child's life that are impacted by those ODD behaviors, the worse the prognosis without effective treatment. And catching ODD early on before it generalizes can improve outcomes.
Of course, you know it's important to consider the child's or the client's age when making this diagnosis so you can determine whether the frequency and intensity of the behaviors fall within normal limits for the child's developmental levels.
Right you are. Is there an age limit on diagnosing ODD, Linton?
I wish there was.
Make things simple, very, you know, neat and tidy.
It would, but there's no age limit in the diagnostic criteria, although it's very rare for symptoms to first emerge in adulthood. you might see an adult who was not properly diagnosed or treated for ODD in childhood, and their symptoms had persisted into adulthood.
Okay, that makes sense. So we've gone over the detailed list of diagnostic features, but the big picture really is that children with ODD struggle to manage their emotions in an age-appropriate manner when they get upset or frustrated. Their reactions tend to be disproportionate to the situation and difficult for them to control. Their coping skills are really underdeveloped. They lack an age-appropriate ability to self-soothe, distract themselves, or problem-solve when they're confronted with disappointment. So, Linton, how are we going to remember the features of oppositional defiant disorder?
Well, I just happen to have a memory device for that, Stacy.
Why aren't I surprised?
Clients with ODD are brats.
What the heck?
A, annoying. R, resentful. E, easily annoyed. That's R, brats. B, blames others. R, rule breaker. A, argues with authorities. T, temper. And S, spiteful or vindictive. So you can see how ODD clients are brats. If in a case study you see the client exhibiting those R brat behaviors, you should be thinking ODD.
Okay, I see what you did there.
Yeah, well, now let's switch gears and talk about conduct disorder. According to the DSM-5-TR, the diagnostic criteria for conduct disorder include the following. A repetitive and persistent pattern of behavior in which the basic rights of others or major age-appropriate societal norms or rules are violated, as manifested by the presence of at least 3 of 15 criteria in the last how long? 12 months, with at least one criterion present in the last 6 months.
Jeez, this is a lot of numbers to remember.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to throw another one at you, too. There are four main categories of symptoms. So those 15 criteria are divided up into four categories of symptoms. And those categories are aggression to people and animals, destruction of property, deceitfulness or theft, and serious violation of rules. And we'll talk about the specific behaviors that go along with these categories. Starting with aggression to people and animals, what does this include, Linton?
Well, bullying, threatening, intimidating others, initiating physical fights, using a weapon to cause physical harm, physical cruelty to people or animals, stealing while confronting the victim, like a mugging or an armed robbery, and forced sexual activity.
Okay. And second, destruction of property.
Examples of destruction of property would be deliberately starting a fire to cause damage and destroying other people's property. I don't know if I told you this, but I did accidentally set the baseball field on fire when I was a kid, but I finally stomped it out. And there was this time when I accidentally set the back porch on fire.
Jeez.
Okay.
Linton.
I know, but it was only because I was practicing to get my Cub Scout fire safety badge.
Okay. Well, you barely get a pass on both of those, Linton.
Oh, good.
Oh, geez. Okay. So the third category is theft or deceitfulness.
Okay. This covers lying to obtain goods, conning others, and stealing items of non-trivial value without confronting the victim, like forgery or shoplifting. Speaking of, Stacy, tell me, when you were little, did you never lifted, nicked, swiped, boosted, take a five finger discount when you were young?
Well, let me think about that for a minute. I must have. Okay, well, there was this one time my mom sent me to the grocery store at Albertsons. Do they still even have those stores? I don't know. And after I checked out and got home, I realized they didn't charge me for the pack of big red chewing gum that I put in my jacket pocket to keep it from falling through the holes in the shopping cart.
Sure.
It's true. And I never went back to pay for it. I think I just forgot.
I suppose when you got home, you gave your mom the correct change, right?
Of course I did. I'm not a criminal. And for the fourth and final category of conduct disorder symptoms, serious rule breaking. What does that entail, Linton?
Well, this includes staying out past curfew starting before the teenage years, like you never did, Stacy. Running away from home overnight at least two times, or running away from home for a long period of time at least one time. And school truancy also is part of that.
Wow. Well, that's pretty specific, especially those details about the running away from home. But what about if the client is running away from home because they're being physically or sexually abused?
Okay. Obviously, you know, that's an exception. If that's the reason they're running away from home is to escape any kind of abuse, that doesn't qualify as criteria.
Okay. And just on the hunch, Linton, you, I'm guessing, have a way of remembering the behaviors associated with conduct disorder.
Funny you should mention that, Stacy. Wait a minute. Is this some kind of trap?
What do you mean?
Trap. T. Theft or deceit. R. Rule breaking. A. Aggression. P. Property destruction. Trap. So if you see these behaviors in a case study, you should be thinking what, Stacy?
Conduct disorder. Sneaky Linton. Sneaky, sneaky. All right. How about a duration? How long does the client need to demonstrate symptoms before you can make a diagnosis of conduct disorder?
In the past 12 months, the client has to exhibit at least 3 of the 15 specific behaviors we just covered, and at least one of the behaviors must be present in the past 6 months.
Okay, so the duration is one of the keys that can help you distinguish conduct disorder from another disorder that could look similar, adjustment disorder with mixed disturbance of emotions and conduct.
I hate to ask you this, Stacy, but are there any specifiers for conduct disorder?
I thought you'd never ask, Linton. Yes, there are.
Oh, God.
And it's actually a really long list of specifiers for conduct disorder. So we suggest that as you're studying for your exam, you take a few minutes to brush up on those specifiers, and you can find them in the DSM-5 TR at the end of the diagnostic criteria list for conduct disorder. The specifiers relate to the age of onset, interpersonal and emotional functioning, and of course, the severity of conduct problems.
You're not copping out here, are you, Stacy?
No. Are you?
Okay. So we've laid the foundation for ODD and conduct disorder. How are these two diagnoses similar?
Well, both tend to appear during childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Both involve problems with emotional and behavioral regulation.
Right.
And both bring the client into some sort of conflict with adults and authority figures.
Okay, so if I'm doing a case study, I might be able to find both of those behaviors for conduct disorder and ODD, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly. There's some overlap there for sure.
Okay, so I guess how you're going to differentiate that is by figuring out what the key differences are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of the defining differences between the two is all about control. So children or teens who have oppositional defiant disorder fight against being controlled through the use of angry outbursts, irritability, and defying their parents' or their teacher's instructions. So you tend to see a lot of verbal hostility, like arguing, losing their temper, or blaming other people. So Children or teens with conduct disorder, on the other hand, not only do they fight against being controlled, they take it a step further and they try to control others by using aggression or intimidation tactics and manipulating people to do what they want. The behaviors associated with conduct disorder can really be downright scary, physically hurting people or animals, threatening people, destroying property, think like arson or, you know, keying someone's car, and stealing. And the best way that I've heard it described is that parents of children with oppositional defiant disorder feel frustrated, angry, discouraged, and sad.
Uh-huh.
parents of children with conduct disorder feel fear. So they may actually be afraid to live in their own home with their child because they aren't sure of what they're going to do. That child, you know, they may be worried they're going to hurt them, hurt another family member, destroy the house. You know, it's kind of like a wild card.
That's a really good way to just look at something and determine if it's ODD or CD, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a brief case study right now so everyone can understand the differences between ODD and CD, okay?
All right, sounds good. Take it away.
Okay, here we go. Liz's parents describe her frequent temper outbursts at home, where she yells, screams, cries, and slams doors when she does not get her way. Recently, when her parents refused to let Liz play Minecraft on a school night, Liz screamed, "I hate you," and stormed out of the room, slamming the door forcefully behind her.
At school, Liz often refuses to comply with classroom rules. Despite reminders and consequences, she continues to get out of her seat without permission, calls out in class instead of raising her hand, and talks to classmates during quiet work time. When she's reprimanded by her teacher, Liz argues and talks back. Yesterday, when the teacher asked Liz to stop chatting with a peer, Liz responded, "That's so stupid. You never let us talk." And she just continued her conversation. Last week, Liz purposely threw paper clips at a classmate sitting next to her, even after he asked her to stop. When the teacher intervened, Liz lied and claimed that the other student flicked paper clips at her first. When Liz was not invited to a classmate's birthday party last month, she retaliated by excluding the classmate from games at recess. All right, from that case study, which disorder fits Liz's symptoms the best? Oppositional defiant disorder or conduct disorder? All right. What is oppositional defiant disorder?
That is correct. And why is that?
All right. Well, there seems to be a pattern of angry outbursts. So Liz, for example, losing her cookies when her parents tell her that she can't play Minecraft on a school night. We've got defiant behavior towards authority figures. You know, she's not following the rules at school. She's talking back to her teacher. And there's this intent to aggravate or annoy peers. For example, the paperclip episode with her classmate.
Right, right.
And to really drive it home, if I were to put myself in Liz's parents' shoes, I don't think I'd be feeling fear so much, but more like maybe exasperation, probably some anger at her inability to follow the rules.
You got it. How about a quick summary before we sign off for today?
Sure. Oppositional defiant disorder involves problems regulating emotions, including frequent angry outbursts, irritability, and defiant behavior toward authority figures. The behaviors occur persistently for at least 6 months.
Conduct disorder involves violating rules and the rights of others through aggression, destruction of property, deceitfulness or theft, and serious rule violations. At least three specific behaviors must have occurred in the last 12 months, and one of those behaviors must be present in the last 6 months.
While both disorders involve emotional and behavioral dysregulation and conflict with authority figures, oppositional defiant disorder is characterized more by verbal hostility and a defiant attitude. Conduct disorder involves actively trying to control or harm others through more severe behaviors. Oppositional defiant is often frustrating for parents or caregivers, while conduct disorder tends to elicit fear.
All right. That's another pair of disorders demystified. Until we meet again, remember?
It's in there.
It's in there.